February 26, 2005. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
another shot, have another hit of shit, have another drink, have another cigarette. Have another drink, have another cigarette, have another hit, have another line of coke, have another shot, have another hit of shit, have another drink, have another cigarette. But you're thinking that I haven't got a life. Well, I used to have a life when I had a wife. I don't blame the bitch for walking out on me. I would have done the same thing if I was in her shoes. I got tears in my ears from lying on my back, crying over her and the times we had. Have another cigarette, have another hit, have another line of coke, have another shot, have another hit of shit, have another drink, have another cigarette.
What for Pedro Show? Gotta cut that, Bob Lee. We're doing a radio show here.
Okay. Yikes.
Bob Lee trying to get his cues up. Wasn't as prepared probably as he'd like to. But, well, I kind of gave it away, huh? Our special guest today, Brother Matt, Mr. Bob Lee.
Good morning.
Welcome aboard to Pedro. It's your second time in Pedro in 2 days, Bob Lee.
Second time in like 12 hours.
Yeah, so
drove
what's
home,
that
went to bed, and drove back.
What's that about?
Well, I don't live here, so I had to drive home.
No, why were you here the first time?
I went to see the premiere of We Jam Econo last night.
Ah, that's it.
Warner Grand Theater. And it was a stellar event.
Sure was.
Well, let's tell the folks here what we just heard. That was MX80 Sound Live. Was it Chicago or San Francisco?
I'm not sure. They don't go into what was from what, but this
they
is off their
sure.
It's off their live album, Always Leave 'Em Wanting Less.
Well, some of it's at Bottom of the Hill, San Francisco. Some's Empty Bottle in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I think that one was from the Bottom of the Hill.
Okay. Place I've played many times.
SF.
And I dig much. Well, Bottom of the Hill. Good pad to play. We started off, of course, with some John Coltrane, like every Watt for Pedro show, and that was with another live thing as well, along with Mr. Eric Dolphy, the John Coltrane Quintet, and a tune called Miles Mode, some smoking stuff. So, We Jam Econo, the story of Minuteman, did the premiere last night. Brother Matt, you were there?
Yeah, man.
Bob Lee was there. A lot of cats from the old days were there.
Awesome job.
In fact, it was sold out. The only time I ever seen that pad that full was when the Ramones played there. Andy Boone saw a lot of horror movies and science fiction as teenagers there. Got booted out many times for making noise. We'd bring whistles. And It was a trippy thing.
It was a great event, and it was a really, really great movie. I'm very much looking forward to, I guess, what I've heard is going to be an expanded edition DVD.
I think there'll be two DVDs. It'll be twice as long. Like, I think there was 25 songs.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be 50 in the DVD.
Oh, great.
And more spiel and stuff like that.
But it was a really nice mix of, you know, laughing your ass off and, you know, scratching your head in ponderance and just getting rocked into the ground.
Yeah, my mother was pretty tripped out by seeing this play. She's told me she's watched it now 15 times. Yeah, because, you know, in the moment, she saw us a couple times, but she didn't see us real early on in that movie. Like, it has some of our first paid gig. Starwood, 1980. I didn't even know existed.
You were getting belige on some of the audience in that. What was
Dude, getting belige on them. They were getting belige on us. They spit so much on us. I know Deep Bill comes up. I'll meet you on the football field. Something like that. He breaks two strings. He keeps charging. It was intense. I think I said something like, where's your...
Is your number, you fucking poser?
No, but I say something like, where's your band? And I'll tell you why I said that, because I recognized what the kids were doing was making a line and doing round robin as they gathered up spit to give another round. So I saw him, and I recognized one of the guys we had just played a couple weeks before with him in Pedro. You know, we got him, the Ozzy Hairs or something they were called, young kids. And here we just played with him, got him a gig. They were all friendly, but that was punk, you know.
That's what you
I
do.
I can't complain too much, because one time I got all drunk and I spit on Jello Biafra, his big old fucking hocker right on his lapel. And I had to see it the whole night. You know, I felt like such an asshole. So I probably deserved every fucking hock and loogie that ever came on me. But what was really nasty was not being able to hold your hands up because you're playing and have to sing, and so they come right into your mouth. That was intense. That was so intense.
I guess you can't really turn away from them, because then you can't see the bottles flying through the air.
Yeah, that's even dangerous. More dangerous. Spit don't hurt like that. Cans. Full cans of beer or nailers. Oh, man. Some of those things. Who is your favorite spieler?
I liked Meltzer. And... it was interesting watching Georgie talk about it too. I spent some time hanging out with him, and I never really talked to him about those days.
About drums, like not knowing what you're doing and just going for it. That was pretty philosophical. You don't know what you can do, so you like just try your hardest. And then you look back and whoa, you're amazed.
And I liked Ian a lot. He articulated a lot of the way I felt.
Thurston called me last night after the thing, and he said that was his favorite. He was kind of embarrassed for his thing. He thought he appeared as some like East Coast elitist calling us doofuses. But I told him it was all right, because he said he was a doofus too. And that's kind of what he related.
That's when I came into it, yeah. Related to it. I mean, a lot of us did.
He was also embarrassed, by the way, because he actually did it at Byron's pad. Uh-huh. So those aren't all his records. He sold a lot of his records. So it makes him look like mega collector geek.
Which he was
very much so, but he's kind of like, I think Kim stomped on that. But he's sitting in front of like 10,000 records. They're Byron's. Byron's in a box.
Yeah.
That never gets explained, really.
That his stuff is
no,
just
he's
the product.
In a giant box.
Oh,
he's standing in a huge cardboard. But I don't know if you noticed that.
I saw a little bit of it. I'm like, what is he doing with that thing on his lap?
Yeah, because there's nothing, you know. Oh, by the way, you know, I'm in this box, like the Velvet Underground song.
Mm-hmm.
Was it The Gift? There's this tune where the cat, his girlfriend lives away, so he's going to mail her a present. He's going to mail her him. So he gets in the box. He mails himself up. What's his name? Albert or something. Anyway, oh, man. To open up the box, she uses a pair of scissors. In fact, it's the cover.
Walter.
Is it Walter? That's the cover. You can barely see it, but it's the actual cover, because when she uses the scissors to open up the box, yeah, it gets them right in the head. And it
little very, dogs of red.
Yeah, like it's like a poetic description of his blood coming out in the sunlight. It's like it's a Kale song. He's got two of them on there. One's Lady Godiva's operation.
But it's Lou Reed's story. He wrote it in a composition class I read.
Probably for...
And why it's Stony Brook or where
no, he's Syracuse. And his,
SUNY?
Yeah, and his mentor was Delmore Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably for maybe him. Yeah, John Cale makes it into a tune or a narrative or something. Because the Godiva one's like that too, where there's some melody on one channel and the other channel's got this. I feel like playing that. You got that? You got the white light, white heat? But it took me years to realize that the cover was actually the gift.
I don't know if I've ever
looked at it that intense. Yeah, there's a crack, you can see. I think so. Because it depends on when you got it. At first it was embossed, and then it was just flat.
Yeah.
Different reissues. So you picked MX80 Sound.
Yeah, they're a favorite. One of the few bands I've flown to go watch play.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet you a lot of cats, even though they've been around, don't know about them. So why don't you enlighten the listeners?
Well, MX80's from Bloomington, Indiana. Moved to San Francisco in 1979. And made a couple of records for Ralph Records, the residence label.
Bloomington, that's the college town.
Yeah.
IU.
And apparently had a very hard time of it. They thought San Francisco would be this welcoming artist community, and they got there at the height of punk rock, and everybody was all anti-guitar solo. And they had a rough time getting gigs. Bruce
Didn't
Anderson
play
said
song
people
with
used to...
Perubu?
Maybe. That would make sense. They played with, like, Patti... They played with everybody who came through Bloomington. My friend Eddie saw him open for Patti Smith. But once they moved to San Francisco, they said it was much harder to get gigs. At least in Bloomington, they could only play at the library, but they would pack the library. San Francisco, they couldn't get 50
people. It was
more
of an oasis, too, where bands...
Yeah. And then in
San Francisco, a lot more competition
people,
for venues.
And people would, like, throw... Bruce Anderson said people would throw their leather jacket on his guitar to keep him from playing solos. Just like, stop!
MX80 always had a lot of lead guitar.
It's just that kind of band. They were
kind of Hawkwindy.
Kind of Hawkwindy and Beefhearty.
By the way, have you heard about Hawkwind? Some kind of incarnation is going to tour again, I heard.
Oh, that's cool. I know they play every couple of years in England. They've never really stopped. Dave Brock always has a band called that and play at a
and
festival
then,
or two.
One of the other cats has kind of a version. Is it Turner?
There was Nick Turner's... Space
Oblivion?
Space Wind, I think he was
space
calling
wind?
It. And I don't know if that was the name or not. It was Nick Turner's... fuck, was the name of the live album? Nick Turner's Space Ritual.
Space Ritual. Wow.
And they were pretty good.
But that's who I always thought of when I heard MX80 Sound was a little bit of Hawkwind.
And kind of deadpan Lou Reed delivery on the vocals.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But even more... detached.
I was telling you, I saw them be the backup band for Malcolm Moody, who was the first singer for Can, which was pretty wild at Spaceland. I got to play at Spaceland tonight, opening for Thurston. He's playing with this band, Whiteout. Yeah, and then right after, I got to go to 14 Below and play with Perkins and Peter. So, full thing with Watt. Practicing new second man version, Paul Rossler now aboard. Cool. But he's got the piece. It's coming. Bob Lee wants me to get a local gig.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because he didn't get to see Echo. So maybe we'll do that before we leave.
I'll host you at a rehearsal studio, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And I'll spring for it.
Practice pad. Let's see. You picked a song here that you got some... personal involvement here.
Yeah, this is a live recording from the Black Gang Tour, fall of 1998. This was recorded at Alvin's in
Detroit.
Putting
the Opera to Bed Tour.
And this is Mike, Nels Klein, and myself doing a Madonna song.
Lot for Pedro Show.
My secret garden, I'm looking for the perfect flower, waiting for my finest hour. In my secret garden, I still believe, after all, I still believe, and I fall. You plant the seed, and I'll watch it grow. I wonder when I'll start to show. I wonder if I'll ever know where my place is, where my face is. I know it's in here somewhere. What I really want to know is the color of my hair. I know the answer is out there somewhere in my secret garden. There's a bed of leaves and corn, a heart that has not hardened, a place that I can be born in my secret garden, a rose without a thorn. Without score. If I wait for the rain to kiss me and undress me, will I look a fool, wet and a mess? Will I still be thirsty? Will I pass the test? If I look to the rainbow, will I see it? Or will I pass right by? Because I'm not supposed to see, because the blind are never free. Because even in my secret garden, there's a chance that I could hide. And that's why I'm still looking for a petal that isn't torn, a heart that has not hardened, a place that I can be born in my secret garden, a rose without a thorn, a lover without scorn. I still believe. I still believe. When all is said and done, I'm still alive. When the boots have come and trampled on me, I'm still alive. When all the lawyers and accounts have come to suck my blood dry, I'm still alive. And the sun will kiss me and caress me, and I think that I will grow. This I know, and that is why I'm still looking for a petal that isn't torn, a heart that has not hardened, a place that I can be born in my secret garden, a rose without a thorn, a lover without scorn. Somewhere on Fulton Blue lies my secret garden.
Watt from Pedro show. That was some brand new backbiter. Bob Lee, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's fresh out the can. We're in the midst of working on our third release, which I think is going to turn out to be two. We're going to do as a double package. We've got about
a twofer.
We've got about 80 minutes worth of new stuff in the can, and probably 45 or 50 minutes of pre-recorded stuff from the old days that hasn't ever come out. So we want to probably do a double disc and get it, just kind of dump it all out there.
Some dumpage. That tune there was Looking in the Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a departure for the Backbiter thing. For one thing, because we played a tune last week, Head Case number 32, and there was a Leslie organ.
Yeah.
That's missing. Instead, we got the piano.
Yeah, so there was a particular couple of years we had an organ player.
All right, when you were doing them cover things of albums.
We did a couple of Who albums.
Yeah.
And we did a couple of sets for parties that we
well, I saw like. One at Spaceland, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff was fun for that. No, we did Deep Purple covers.
That's right.
With Dave Van Heusen.
So, but with this new backfire, besides no organ, there's just a lot of differences. Jonathan's singing much different. Clean guitar.
Mm-hmm.
No big Marshall sound.
Yeah. Well,
no Rocky Erickson voice.
There will be some more traditional selections on the offering as well. There's probably going to be 30 songs. So.
Well, what you said you're going to split them into two dealios.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of being able to sequence and put things into a, you know, fashion them into a whole so that the album works from front to back.
Before the new Backbiter, we had Peter DiStefano with his new album, Self. Well, the song's called Selfish. I don't know what the record's called. Yes, I do. It's called Soul Trigger. I'm playing with Peter tonight with Perkins. Hellride, some Stooge, Freak Out. Before that, we had Bellini, notorious drummer Damon Che. I heard the Bellini tour he was on, he abandoned them. Or maybe they abandoned him. Something crazy. That was a tune called Patience and Passion in Brown Gloves.
Yeah, that guy's a character. I met him 12 years ago and could tell he was not your run-of-the-mill rock band guy.
He's a tripper. I saw him when we played a gig with him, with Don Caballero. And, he said he wanted to move to L.A. and jam. So, you know, I guess he's from Pittsburgh or something.
Yeah, Chicago, maybe. We played with them in Pittsburgh, and I thought maybe they moved to Chicago.
Oh, well, yeah, he said, you know who said that to me once, too, was Murph from Dinosaurs. He says, yeah, I'm thinking moving out to L.A. And I said, yeah? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, well, I want to jam. That's why you moved out to L.A.
Why,
right?
I moved out here. I wanted to jam with, I wanted to be on SST
Crawl
Records
Space.
And sleep on the floor under Greg Ginn's desk.
Now, you didn't know of Crawl Space, right?
I hadn't heard of them before I came out. Well, when I got here, I looked in the recycler, and the first thing I saw was an ad. I think the bands it mentioned were MC5, Stooges, Sonic Youth, and Butthole Surfers, which were four of my favorite bands at that time, and mentioned free jazz and controlled noise, and I'd just come out of college music classes on 20th century music, and it just sounded right.
It was an improvisational band.
Started out as songs. Started out, they were kind of stoogy, gnarly, ugly rock songs. Probably would have fit right in on Amphetamine Reptile, or you know, could have played with Killdozer and those kind of bands. And grew into a more psychedelic, jammed out thingamabob about a year after I started doing it. And changed bass players, got Joe Dean from Pedro on bass, and that sort of signaled a shift. So our first bass player, Sarge, was pretty strictly into Stooges, New York Dolls, Pistols.
Well, you were in a Sarge band later.
And well, I was in Fearless Leader with Sarge.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Wasn't
that
his
band?
Oh, man,
that's what I forgot to bring today.
Well, wasn't that his band?
That was his band, yeah.
In fact, you did quite a tenure with him.
Well, we Fearless Leader didn't do a whole lot, but I started doing stuff with them.
Maybe not a lot of gigs, but it covered some time, right?
Well, when I first started doing stuff with them, I was like the mascot. I would dress up in a Godzilla suit and go hand out Spam with whipped cream on it to the audience, or go set up the like giant bongs that with smoke machines in them, and set up the giant seeds that we could fish out of that part of the set.
More essential than the assistant hair tech.
I played air guitar when the second guitar player couldn't make the gig. And then
what's started Serge doing nowadays?
Not a whole lot musically, but Fearless Leader's second album is about to come out, interestingly enough, on Gulcher Records.
Wow. Gulcher, that's the name of a Meltzer book.
Yeah, they did MX-80's first singles, and the Gizmos, Crazy Kenny Highland.
Wow.
Some of the Midwestern pioneers, the Africa Corps, Screamin' Memes.
Africa Corps. They turned into Savage Republic out here.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Played a reunion with them.
Really?
Bruce Leicher, the guy who did those weird cardboard covers,
mm-hmm.
Independent Projects, I think it's called. He lives in Arizona now. Ethan Port lives up in San Francisco. In fact, he asked me to do something kind of Savage Republic related. I don't know if I have the time. Are you aware of the unknown instructors?
Mm-mm. That's why they're unknown.
Okay.
No awareness.
Well, I've been playing some of their tunes. It's a project this poet teacher from Toledo, Maumee area of Ohio, came to Pedro and did this improvisational thing with myself, George Hurley, and Joe Biza. And in fact, he's got plans in August to do the same thing with David Thomas aboard too.
Wow.
Pierre Ubu singer. So here's a song from that. I think the record comes out next month.
Cool.
And Jack Brewer does some spiel, too. And this is called The Teacher, Watt from Pedro Show.
The king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. These men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that no decree nor salute, statute, which the king established may be changed. No statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto and said, "Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he shall deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep bridges. Because he believed in God. He believed in God and the Stooges. He didn't think anything too rude for Sunday morning.
Pedro Show. That was Chop Shop from Norman, Oklahoma. I'm pretty sure that we conked there last tour. Myself, Raul, and Pete. Second man.
It's college town, right?
Norman. Yeah, it's just south of OK City. Just maybe 30 miles, 20 miles. So, it's a band called Chop Shop and a tune called D-Boone.
Yeah.
Much respect. Much respect. Before that, we had The Teacher by the Unknown Instructors. Little Jack Brewer there at the end. mainly Dan McGuire on the spiel, myself bass, barely hanging on. I don't know what was wrong with me. I mean, it was improvisational, but that's no excuse. And Joe Bison, some righteous guitar, as well as George Hurley on very smoking drums.
Jesus and the Stooges.
Yeah, it was weird, like a Book of Daniel thing and mixed in with some Stooges. Got some Stooges gigs end of May, Lisbon and Barcelona, after this Europe tour. Really trying hard. I got a Slovenia gig, a Croatia gig, but get Serbia in there too, so we get Yugoland.
Oh, it's excellent.
It's so great. The promoters, they're all from them different, they're different lands now, and they're all cool with each other.
Oh, cool.
You know? So it's important. In fact, probably have to cut some gigs to do it, but already got 7 German gigs, so we lose Scharnhorst. It's okay. You know, for 1 Belgrade.
Sorry, people of Scharnhorst.
I know. I'll make it up for to you. You know, God, I got maybe 8 Italian gigs, which is pretty wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Can you believe that? That many?
You know, eat well for 8 days of your life.
Yeah. And dates are still getting more solid, but the next show I'll probably have and let folks know about it. Last tour for the opera. I got to move on to a new thing. Like I was saying to you before, little songs. No opera. Probably 36 little songs.
Is that Cleveland guys?
No, that's going to be the one after. I want to do a record for after touring with Raul and him having to do Jerry stuff. I was thinking, man, I should write stuff for Raul.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? So then I'll do the Cleveland thing where I just show up with songs. And then Black Gang. I have Black Gang record done. Written. So, and Nels, of course, kind of busy these days, but he says he'll make time. So that'd be great, Bob Lee, yeah. Nels, myself.
Sweet. We're there.
Oh, we're there, yeah. Okay, end of the first hour done. A Watt for Peter show, February 26, 2005. Hold tight for hour 2. February 26, 2005. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
they're coming to collect. I got something that they want, and I don't know what it is, but you hid it in my luggage like a needle in a haystack. So I'm running like a criminal, I'm sneaking round each corner in a phone booth through a window, and the air is cold around me, and I'm running for my life. Borrow, beg, or steal, everything is real. One day you might feel alright again. So I kissed you on the lips. You were sleeping like a racehorse in the evening. All that power, motivation, and endless broken omens. And I don't know if I love you, but I really want to own you. And I've kept you like a secret from the moment that I found you. We can make a deal. Everything is real. Pain. That's a promise that you made me in a letter that you sent me from Chicago on a freezing day in winter. Now I feel a little lighter, but it really doesn't matter, cause this love is not obedient. It's got its own agenda, and it wants to take me over, and it wants to pull you under. And I would like nothing better than to tear us both to pieces, and I won't do what it's told. Show me how you feel. Everything is real. One day it'll be alright again. One day it'll be
our show. That was the Butchies with She's So Lovely. For that Ben Lee. I got to see him at the Perma show.
Really?
Yeah. After I dropped off the amp, I went and saw the Viper and then came back and saw Perma again. He's got a new record out.
I saw him when he was about 15.
I know,
1993.
But he's always had an old face. He's still young, early 20s.
Yeah.
Stage is full of flowers. I know the Viper Room is not one of your favorite places.
The last time I went there, I had a real good time, and Sal was nice to me. And I had a problem with the way they handled a couple of the people that came to our show that were unhappy about things. And I don't know. I try not to be uptight about it anymore. It's not worth it.
No.
The guy gave me barbecue, and we talked about methods of barbecue and using those garbage can type, the big giant oil can looking bins. I said, "Yeah, we just got one of those from Red's in South Central," and he's like, "Ah, man!" And like pulls out the guy's card and is like, "Me too." No, Sweet Daddy's. That was the guy's.
Right, that's right. He makes them for people.
Yeah. So I have a
tree or. Slauson?
I forgot. I think it might be Slauson, and Elise was on her way taking streets down to Torrance and drove past it and got us one. So we bonded over Sweet Daddy's barbecue.
You know who's working there? Former wife from Patrick Motta. Remember Patrick? Community FK?
Yeah.
It's a trick.
And it's Sativa Love Box.
Yeah. Sativa Love Box.
Featuring M. Siegel.
She goes which is to me, you might remember me. I was living with Paula and Helen, which is the degrees of separation. I heard the Nexus, Paul Roster Nexus. And we started off the second hour with Easily Swayed by Motorcycle Black Madonnas, Mr. Steve Reed on bass,
and
Jonathan Hall on the guitar.
Mark Siegel on drums and Maria Katopoulos on vocals.
Right.
Playing a show with them tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jonathan pulls double duty.
I have to play. He's playing two gigs?
Yeah. Or he's playing with the Madonnas and Biter playing together.
Wish I could come see it, but I got to go. Two gigs. And I got to do double gig duty, but with the double venue.
We're playing with Biblical Proof of UFOs and the Wizards.
Oh, they're a good band. I've done some gigs with them.
They're real good.
Are they from Ohio?
They're from Cleveland.
Yeah. Moved out here to jam.
Yeah. They're awesome. Did you ever get a copy of their CD? I forgot to bring it.
No.
Yeah.
I'd love to, though. I really liked them. Trio still?
Yep. Heavy. Drummer plays with Brant Bjork now.
Oh, wow. Who was Ben Lee's drummer played with Brother Wayne Kramer? A guy named Eric Gardner?
Oh, I don't know that guy.
Yeah. I think Brother Wayne Kramer's still doing his MC5 thing. I think
they're doing it in the summer with Lisa Handsome. From the Bell Rays and David Thomas.
Wow, I think Handsome Dick is on singing now.
Uh-huh. Did I confuse David Thomas with Handsome Dick? No, David Thomas, I think, is going to sing for the MC5.
You know, I think I could understand your confusion. If you put them next to each other, and I would be hard pressed to tell the difference.
Yeah, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Mark Mothersbaugh told me he did a Devo Pere Ubu show where Devo opened and he walked out and having stuffed his coat with pillows and put a big bowler hat on and came out and stood there looking real stern and sang the whole Devo set and. Ubu was not amused because now he had to go out and do the exact same shtick after that.
But without stuff in the coat. No, the coat was the coat came stuff.
Yeah, Thomas was
David
Stuffer.
He came to a Cambridge gig. Maybe he's playing next door this last tour. Hey, Mike, really friendly and nice. Tony Mamone was in town.
He played next door to us at the Mountain Goats show.
He's playing bass for the guided by Boy Scouts.
Doug Gilliard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Birdie guy, Death of Samantha.
You know, they were playing right next to us, and just because of the timing, I didn't even have a chance to go over and look. I would have loved to have seen that. I love Tony Mamone.
Cleveland. He lives in Brooklyn now. In fact, I'm playing some of the stuff, the Book of Knots. I guess I'm going to be on Volume 2.
Wow.
But anyway, it's time now for me to express my joy at the privilege of bringing aboard Brother Matt and his insight.
Yeah, thank you. Batman better. Batman better. Batman better.
here. Not then, maybe we can go somewhere.
Party over here. Party over there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And if you're at the bar, you need to pop the cork. You know I speak the truth. You know the place is hot. Fire on the roof. Everybody jumping. Everybody moving because the bass is thumping. Now make some noise. You bring the girls and I'll bring the boys.
Was under the influence.
What's your sec? That was wild. You got some EQ tripping. Yeah. Brother Matt, thank you much for that spin cycle installment. Brother Bob Lee, thanks for getting in on the collab.
That was funky.
Got your rain stick going. And what's that one called, the flatty?
The Bodron?
Bodron?
Irish Spring.
Mm-hmm. Irish Spring, arr. And then the thing with
the Hawaiian.
No, the stick.
Oh, the talking drum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Djembe? What did Perkins call it?
Djembe doesn't have the little squeezers.
Ah.
Okay. But you play it with the same kind.
But play it with the stick. Come here quick. Be off that licking stick. Musically, you're pretty much involved with the biter.
Right now, Backbiter's pretty heavy concern. Trying to finish up this record and get it out. 8 years of backlog material.
80 minutes.
Release in the most literal sense of the term.
Not much Amidons.
Record came out last year. Been playing here and there. And John's been doing more solo gigs.
Like acoustic?
Solo acoustic or, you know, plugged in, but just by himself.
All right.
And, you know, taking it at our own pace.
But any other proj?
There's solo careers albums about to come out.
Right. What about gig-wise?
Probably one of my next picks. And
Is there solo career gigs?
There's possibly at the point where our record comes out. Richard Derrick's Bag of Plenty Records is going to put that one out. And it's in the editing phase now. We went and mixed and mastered it up at Joe Steiner's.
Is it from live performances?
Some of it's from live show that Dean recorded. That's what we're going to hear later. And
finally got Dean his letter.
Yeah.
You know about Dean. Dean the Prancing Machine. He's been recording gigs for 15 or more years. Okay. But he also was making other things available at a swap meet. And El Hombre came down and arrested him. And so he asked all kinds of cats that he knows locally if they'd write a letter telling the government, I have permission to make these recordings. So it differs from these other things made available, which it's questionable whether he had permission.
Well,
Mr. Springsteen and...
Yeah, I don't know if there's a letter on file from...
what were the items? It was a Springsteen...
I believe it was a Springsteen show on video.
Yeah, very heavy. Raided the house. Roommates.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
But,
Well, he didn't know either. It was a sting undercover.
Yeah, but he's been recording gigs for so long, and his archive has been... Extremely. I mean, we're about
these
to
are square
use some
Johns.
Of
they don't
release.
Know, right? They just take care. They don't know who's who, you know. So he has to have. But he told me good news last night that the RIAA, which is an industry group put together by the recording people, have not come to court with things. So the judge says, look. End of this next month, you don't come up with stuff, I'm dropping it.
Well, hope that happens.
So maybe they're busy suing 90-year-old grandmas for downloading.
Yeah, he's small potatoes. He's not on the internet.
Yeah, but I mean, they've been going after some of these.
I think he was caught in a sweep for like guys who were selling pirate Tigres del Norte CDs of like pirates of their latest release.
Yeah, right.
Which is a
There's
big
a huge
thing,
thing
at
with the, at the swap meets with Latin music, big time, big time. All kinds of music, and if you look at the actual CDs, you can see how it's just been like mimeographed or Xeroxed right off the dealio.
Right.
So, in fact, I have a Paid in Full and Eric B. and Rakim thing like that. Because me and Dirk used to always go to Wemoss swap meet at Harbor College. God, in the old days, every Sunday.
That's where a lot of those L.A. hip-hop records started first circulating and finding an audience, was the swap meets.
Swap meets.
Wow. There's one at the drive-in in South Central.
Well, Rodeo? What was the Long Beach one?
Rodeo.
Camino, that's right. And that was a huge one. I've been to there a few times. I'm thinking of Long Beach or Lakewood by the McDonnell Douglas thing. There used to be a biggie.
That was like punk rock style. You could just set up a booth and sell the records that
somebody
just brought to you out of the trunk of their car.
Yeah.
Play it in the stalls, and if it was good, the kids would start dancing there in the aisles of the swap meet.
I think he's E.
Yeah.
Right? That stuff. That's how he started. Back the trunk. So, that was heavy for Dean, but at least we can get him the stuff from our bands. Maybe we can't speak so much for Mr. Springsteen. But.
Well, I want it back, if nothing else. I mean, that's our stuff. I would absolutely not want to see it get burned.
Like Mota, right? They just put it in a pile and burn it.
Yeah, they put it in the pile of Mota, so if you're standing downwind, you'll choke.
I hear a lot of Mota gets burned in this... like Terminal Island, this recycling thing off, whatever, is it Ocean Boulevard at that point? The road between Gerald Desmond Bridge and Vincent Thomas. Oh, by the way, have you seen our bridge now?
No, I haven't seen the new bridge.
They put blue LEDs on the Vincent Thomas Bridge.
Wow. My friend Max in Syracuse said they used to burn their stash every week, and all the kids knew where to go stand down. And every week it would be something different. Like, oh, I got some cocaine this week. This is good shit. And then eventually they figured it out and started throwing a tire in there. So you get
all life-shortening vapors. Yeah, right. Too much fun. Stomp it down. We got some more of it. Good news for Dean. He's still making recordings, though, right? He's just avoiding the swap meet scene.
Oh, I think he does occasionally. He doesn't have a good machine anymore.
Oh.
It's Dean, the taping machine, is without
done
a taping
so
machine.
Done so much of my gigs
I know.
Over the years. It's okay. Great. And great. And he's a resource, you know? That's right. So Johnny Law, you know, well, he's like some kind of tack dog, right? They just point him and say,
yeah, easy target.
Yeah, I know.
No danger.
Right. Dean's going to. Dean's going to really get Belige on him.
Well, we'll hope there's
flit
no Minutemen.
Prance around.
We'll have to hope there's no Minutemen discs in those boxes.
Is he local?
He's Van Nuys.
Yeah, but since born?
Yeah.
Or
born
is he
and raised in the Dalles.
Okay. Because I don't remember him coming on the scene until like the late 80s.
Well, he was into arena rock until real late. He still is.
When I first met him, because you were a roommate, right?
He was good friends with another guy that I knew who was into the bands and told me about this guy who also traded tapes and collected Who shows and stuff, and I should meet him.
Okay.
And so I did. He was like a couple blocks from my house and started coming to my shows about 1990. I think it was about a little earlier than that he had started going to see like the Dickies and Firehose and started getting real into the smaller bands.
Did you ever know him with long hair?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Grant Hart stash.
See, Bob Lee didn't know really the geographical layout of L.A., so he comes from Lambertville, New Jersey, and goes up far into the bow.
I was in Van Nuys. I was in the center of it.
the center of that. That's not the center of L.A.
When I first got here, I was living in the Park Plaza Hotel over MacArthur Park.
Oh, wow. right in the middle. That was crazier. That's way crazier.
And then moved to, like, 7th.
But, you know, you don't know, right?
7th in Vermont, moved from there, like, hotel. I had to go where my friend was.
He just had a friend
at Otis Parsons College that was willing to let me
Which is right
on
there
the floor
by
for a couple of days till I found a spot.
Oh, wow. Well, here we are, the end of the second hour of the February 26, 2005 Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. February 26, 2005. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Here's part two of Dreams of Rio.
Jack Flanders has been sent to Rio de Janeiro to pick up a small stone statue and return with it to New York. Jack's contact in Rio was Paulo Pompadora and his lovely associate, Carla Davila.
Meu Brasil, samba que dá para o mundo, ambulear a Brasil.
Well, the statue turned out to be a small, grotesque-looking stone head.
That's it? That's it.
When Jack set the head on top of the television set in his hotel room, it fell off and cracked open.
Cracked open. There's something inside. What is this thing?
Inside was a crystal skull. Jack tried to contact Paulo.
Pompadora has checked it out.
Checked out? When he tried to reach Carla, an old woman answered.
I am Carla Davila.
So now we find a bewildered Jack sitting in his hotel room in romantic Rio de Janeiro. And now, week two of Dreams of Rio.
I don't know about you, Skull. Are you supposed to be human? What are you carved out of? Some kind of clear... Oh, here's the export papers for customs. This description fits what used to be the head. Yeah, I'm not going to get out of the country with this. Hello, I'd like to make a call to the United States. 313-367-1213. Yes, I'll wait.
Fundo de quintal, toda a minha verdade. Sou do Wilson Moreira. Manda ver fundo de quintal, vai.
Vem, se você não vier.
Hello? Short time Detroit, please. What? Oh, he's out of the country? Oh, where can I reach him? No idea. When will he be back? No idea. Can you tell me where he is? No idea. Right. All right. You've been very helpful. Tell him to call Jack Flanders at the Hotel Praia Ipanema in Rio de Janeiro. 21-239-9932. That's right.
E olha a landoleira pra você, Oliveira. Essa é pro Grau. Grupo só pra dizer pra vocês. Alô, Fernando? Como é que é, rapaziada? Vamos lá. Arrebentando a banca do Lobão. Que beleza.
Hello, do you speak English? Yes. Well, I'd like to speak to Professor Klaus Vargas. Hello, Professor. My name is Jack Flanders. Well, I've come into the possession of a carved skull that perhaps you can tell me something about... Well, no, but I'm told you're an authority on Incan artifacts. Look, I understand you're busy, but... I'll bring it to the museum this afternoon. Look, this will take 5 minutes, that's all. Well, thank you.
Hello, Garcinha.
Romantic Rio, eh? Pues, tú también.
Madame, que eu quero ver.
Madame, que eu quero ver.
Olha, vamos na dança do cachambu. Fala,
você vai ver.
Σε πέρα κάτω, σε κόνο πέρα κάτω, σε λάβω πάπα ήρθα.
Τα λίγο.
Δεν έχω πάπα να φάσει, αλλά είχα κομισή. Όλα θα φάσει. Τον έκαι, ε. Το μέρο 90 ήρθα, εγώ θα φάσει. Άντα, κύριστα, κύριστα. Το
μέρο 90
Professor Vargas?
Who are you?
Jack Flanders. I called you about the artifact.
I'm sorry. I'm very busy. What do you have to show me?
Well, actually, it's some sort of a clear stone that's carved into a...
Yes. Give it to me, please. Interesting. Where did you find this?
Well, it's a long story, and since you're so busy, well, maybe I should just...
No. Please. Sit.
Is it Incan?
No.
Aztec?
No.
Mayan?
No.
Nice weather?
No. What? Can you leave this here?
No.
Would you like some coffee?
Sure.
Marcos.
São Cristóvão.
É.
Tudo bem, parceiro?
Deixa eu ir.
É a primeira vez?
É a primeira vez.
Legal. Qual é a música?
Eu gostaria de ouvir o Destino de Maria.
Destino de Maria?
É.
Palmeiras de Neto.
Exatamente.
Legal, parceiro. Vou oferecer pra alguém?
É, eu queria oferecer pra uma garota muito especial.
Pra quem?
Sueli.
Alô, Sueli.
Lá em Minas Gerais.
Em Minas Gerais?
É.
Quem é que é?
Vai pra onde, dona?
É?
Where do you go?
Oh, Hotel California.
Hotel California, Copacabana?
Sim, Copacabana.
Sim, como não. All right. Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely place. Welcome to the Hotel California.
You said the skull came from the state of Amazonas.
Well, that's what I was told.
Yes.
Does that mean anything?
I don't know. Should it?
Well, apparently they wanted me to smuggle it out of the country.
You think so?
Yes.
There are many ways to smuggle things in and out of this country.
Do you know Paolo Pompadour?
I know of him.
Well, if it's so easy to smuggle things out, why did he need me?
I don't know.
Maybe he didn't know the skull was inside that stone hat.
Paolo?
Quero oferecer pra Ângela, que tá aqui do meu lado.
Ângela?
Pra você.
Sim, valeu.
E pra minha prima Andréia, que mora bem distante de mim.
Alô, Andréia?
Que é minha mãe.
Não, sua mãe, né?
É.
Como é que é o nome da mamãe?
Cideia.
É. Legal. Vou tocar já então essa música, tá? Um beijinho pra você. Bom dia, tá?
Tá.
Boa segunda-feira. Tchau. Vamos lá, meia-noite, 38 agora.
You are Hotel California.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful time in Rio de Janeiro.
I will.
Oh, don't forget to pay.
No, of course. Here.
Oops.
And here.
Good money. Ganhei o dia hoje. Welcome to the Hotel California.
So what is this skull supposed to be?
What do you mean, supposed to be?
Well, if it's not Incan, what is it? Is it Indian? You don't know? Look, I'll find someone who does.
Oh, don't do that. I'm being honest with you, but there are things I cannot say right now.
Well, I think I need someone who can say.
I could contact the authorities.
No.
They would take possession of the skull.
Yeah, is that what you want to do? No, I didn't think so.
usted a un señor Jack Flanders registrado? ¿No? Gracias. Obrigada.
I need this skull for a few days.
Why?
It will be safe in the museum.
Why do you need it?
It may contain a few answers.
Yeah, but what are the questions?
I can't say right now.
Great.
No, no. Jack Flanders. No? ¿Estás segura?
How long do you need to keep it?
3-4 days.
Then will you have some answers for me?
Maybe.
Do you have a Señor Flanders registered?
When?
When I know, I can trust you.
Trust me? Shit.
When I can tell you, you will understand.
You do? Good. Could you connect me?
All right. Keep it for a couple of days.
Thank you.
Think nothing of it.
While you are here in Rio de Janeiro, Mr. Flanders, you should enjoy yourself.
Hello?
Jack Flanders?
Yes.
Carmen Valderrama.
Who?
Carmen, from the mall.
What?
The Grand Mall in America, remember?
No.
Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola.
Where are you?
I am in Rio.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to have dinner?
Well, yes. Oh, I'm supposed to meet someone, but that's not till later, so sure. I'd love to.
Alô, Dona Fátima. Como é que é? Olá, meia-noite 23 agora no Rio. Rádio Manchete FM 89,3.
Pela entrada de serviço.
And how are you finding Rio?
It's great. It's beautiful.
Have you been to the beach?
Ah, not really.
But the beach is everywhere. We must go to the beach.
We?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Are you in Rio on business?
Mm-mm. Vacation. Good time to get away. They are installing an ocean in the Grand Mall.
An ocean?
Little ocean.
Little ocean?
For surfing.
Surfing?
A machine makes waves.
For surfing in the mall?
Nothing new.
No?
Already all the malls in Canada have oceans.
They do?
They're little oceans.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Surf and shop.
It's like a dream come true.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yes?
I have one information for you about the statue you have.
Oh, I see.
Tonight we meet. Is that possible?
I think so. When?
10 o'clock. At the Orishas Club.
Well, where is that?
I'll give you the directions.
Who are you meeting? Another woman?
Well, yes.
Have you seen the bikinis they wear? Tan chiquitos.
Chiquitos, indeed.
Such nerve to wear so little. Son chiquititos.
Chiquititititos.
So, this afternoon I become Brazilian.
Huh?
I bought myself a carioca bikini. See?
Where?
Where? Here, this.
Oh, chiquito.
Like it?
Mm-hmm.
So, who's the woman?
Hmm?
The woman you are to meet?
Oh, business, you know.
Where are you meeting her?
Her place.
Business, huh? Where?
The Orishas Club.
Orishas Club? You're sure?
Yeah.
Let me see. No, there is no such clue.
It's in the favela.
The favela?
She gave me directions.
I'll drive you there.
No, look, I'll take a taxi.
I'll wait in the car.
Look, I don't know how long this is going to take.
Is it business or is it pleasure?
Business.
So,
I will rent a car.
You don't have to rent a rent-a-car.
You listen to Carmen. The favelas is the slums.
Well, then I will just go strolling.
Uh-huh. You go there alone at night with no way to return. Believe me, you're stupid.
Laia, laia, laia. Nossa Senhora. Essa realmente é demais, né? É aí que eu deito e rolo em pergolução das horas. Meu compadre Renato apanha no pedaço do artifício. Alô, para a Andréa também lá na Barra da Tijuca, né? Que gosta muito dessa música também. Alô, para a rapaziada. Alô, para o Sérgio. Como é que é, Escapelli?
Opa, meu irmão.
Tudo bem, parceiro?
Tudo bem, legal.
Os trabalhos.
Alô, compadre.
Alô, para o motorista da Bandeira 2, o Zezinho, lá de Jacarepaguá, né? Costuma circular sempre pela Zona Sul.
Look, is this not a bad part of the city?
It has a certain charm.
Te lo dije, you should listen to Carmen.
Oh, stop, there it is.
Uy, no. No, you don't want to go in there.
I do, now, stop, Carmen. Carmen, I said stop.
Ay, bueno.
Thank you. I'll try to make this brief, all right?
What kind of woman is this? Shame on you. Have me drive you here for your illicit rendezvous, huh?
Rendezvous. Hey! Latins. Well, nice joint. Wonder if it has a roof. No one at the desk. What did she say? Second floor. Yeah.
Become familiar with the dark.
It's a little stuffy.
Here. Something cool to drink.
Oh, thank you.
You have the statue?
I have the statue, yes.
It is a curved skull.
A skull, yes, yes. How did you know?
I have a story to tell you. It is about El Dorado. The Spaniards searched for this city of gold everywhere, but never found El Dorado. But some people claim it still may exist deep in the rainforest.
Excuse me, it's so hot in here. Could you please open the window?
Well, in 1937, there was an expedition looking for minerals. They said they had found signs of this city. They angered the Indians, who in turn killed all but one. And that one was too insane to be believed. Except he did bring back a statue.
Do you mean that the skull is part of a...
No, not the one you have. But one that was in the museum before it was stolen and sold to a collector.
The museum had a similar skull.
The professor did not tell you?
Oh, God, it's so hot in here. Can I sit down?
Take three more steps down the bank and sit down, my son. Sit in the vault, please. Whoever finds the lost city can never be found will be rich. But the objects have value far beyond what a collector can offer. Are you feeling better, my son?
Yes, thank you. What kind of value do you mean?
They are objects of power.
Objects of power?
You know what this power.
What do you want of me?
Thank you. This song is called The State of Love in the Time of Money.
Searching fine, me just looking fine. stay love in the time of catch.
Incredible question, baby.
And I ain't saying you gotta kiss no nigga ass. Just learn from the past and the future is bright. I won't stand around hating, I just won't fuck with you. I let the dough hit you in. Jotting the bitching, the wages are sin and death, cause niggas are killing. And karma is a circle that'll visit your children. Quiet as milk. I don't know how you live with it. You bullshit, you got bullshit, you got bullshit, you got bullshit, you got bullshit. That's the fun of it. Hands are shaking out the deal with. Friends are friends, deal with. They make fun of the ones that never understand. What it is, what it is, what it is, what it is. Hands are still shaking, have to deal with. Friends are friends, deal with. Never understand what it is to want, 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 what it is to want. Pass me the freedom mind. Some motherfuckers are out for instant self gratification. No matter what the cost, the never is hurt. Life is a pond, and your vibe is a pebble. And when you throw your shit in the pond, there's ripples. We call those repercussions. And when they make mistakes, we call that experience. But when you don't learn, we call that stupidity.
from Pedro Show. That was some Mission of Burma. Bob Lee picked.
Yep.
The Enthusiast.
Peter Prescott. Or
the Enthusiast.
Song.
Peter Prescott tune. Yeah, I told him about the radio show. They did this little West Coast tour and they used my bass amp, so I was at the Troubadour. And I told Peter about my radio show. And he goes, wow, you do a radio show too? How do you fit it all in? I just got time to watch movies and smoke mota. Barely enough time for that.
It's a different perspective.
Yeah. So tell us something about Burma. Why'd you pick Burma?
I like Burma a lot. I saw him this week. And
did you see him in the old days, East Coast?
It was inspirational. No. That was 1982, 3.
What were you doing?
They finished up.
Arena Rock?
Not quite yet. I was into The Who, and I was really into The Clash and The Jam.
You haven't heard Petra's sellout yet.
I still haven't. I wish you had.
She's been writing me kind of sad emails about shit she's getting on the internet for doing that.
It doesn't matter.
People, because she messed up some of the words. She didn't have the lyrics. She didn't know the record at all. You know, I asked her to do it because me and D Boom were way into it. It's just a project to do. Never was going to be an album. And people are being so vicious. And some are really retarded. Like one guy, oh, she keeps slipping the time in. She couldn't have slipped the time in because she's singing right along with the record. The track 8 was the record. She filled up the other 7 tracks. So, you know. And if she screwed up some of the words, well, The Who did covers of people's songs, and they changed things for them, their style.
It's people are going to be purists and decide that it's wrong
really likes
to take the opposite approach.
I flowed you some of his.
Uh-huh, I saw
it. He called it exquisite.
It's awesome.
He said that she got at what was the essence of the record, which was the harmonies.
Yeah, something that's not related to the thundering performance, which is hard to do when you're thinking about them because those performances are so heavy and distinctive.
Mooney.
It's hard to pull the songs away from it. But that's really what she did because it's not heavy at all. He said he was impressed she didn't have to raise her voice or have the idea that you need to do that when you do Who songs.
Yeah. So I told her, don't worry. These people are going to say what they say. Haters. Player haters.
One of my bands was once
compared... Hate the game, don't hate the player.
One of my bands was once compared to a cross between the Violent Femmes and Weird Al Yankovic. Which I figured was about as low as...
Well, how anything with Yankovic in the equation is going to be stinking it up pretty heavy. I mean, what an easy gig that guy's got, right? Just waits for a hit and then turns a word to make it silly. Before that, we had a Long Beach band called the Magic Bullet Theory. One of the cats, Dave, from first incarnation of Bargain Music, his new band, and something live from D Piazza's place, Banyan's playing next week, Long Beach. And that tune was called The State of Love in the Time of Money, which came right after one of Richard Derrick's things.
Yep, this is from a short excerpt from the solo career album, which is the song is entitled Glide, and that particular track was Nels Klein and Ken Rosser on guitar, and Richard on bass, and myself on drums.
When?
322.97 at Spaceland. And that
just
was
a little while ago.
Courtesy of Dean.
Right, see? The man comes to the rescue.
That should be coming out.
That's improvised, right?
Shortly.
Just went for it.
Just start playing. Yeah, that was the first time. I had met Ken about 5 minutes before we started playing, and we just had a brief discussion about what we might do. And
Spaceland?
Yeah. With you guys. Banyan had a female
right,
singer.
We're just telling us about this, because you've played several...
And Nels went up to somebody. I can't remember if it was the female singer or some guy that had...
It was one of the guys, that Dave guy.
and said, if you don't stop doing that, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Screaming and hollering.
Which I had a difficult time.
But you played several sets of improvisation. You were running out of jam beats, right?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about it. Well, Richard and I did two sets in a row, and I kind of wished by the end of it that we had worked out some more tunes, because it became kind of exhausting trying to do it like twice in a row.
Yeah.
Even with different guitars. But the other set was with Mario Lali and Joe Biza. I think we might have did Hothead with you at that one.
That's right. That's right. Is that coming out? I thought we recorded that on purpose.
It's not going to be on this one. Might be on the next one.
Right, I was asked to do that with the recording or release in mind or something.
Well, I guess Richard likes to keep his options open.
Well, it is a solo career.
But we're in final editing now.
Yeah, you know, I've been in situations. I remember there was one Fire Hose tour where opening band was Criminy and Dose. So it's like I never got off the stage. Oh, now you can play with me. Now it's your turn to play with me. I mean, I felt like such a dork. I never got off the stage. I guess Greg Ginn was doing stuff like that too when he had his...
Yeah, gone.
Tricoli. Black Flag, so you never got off the stage. It was like, yeah, no, it's your privilege to play with me. No, it's your privilege. I can imagine being in the crowd and seeing this, like, you know, what's with this guy, man?
That's how he got gone out.
Ted me flattering. Huh? They were New Jersey guys.
Our town, yeah.
You know about the Sim and...
oh, yeah, they were... I knew them at the time.
I think they were Trenton.
They were near Trenton. I think they were from...
Where are the Ween guys?
Ween guys were New Hope. I think...
Oh, it's just right on the border, I think.
Were like Hopewell.
Is New Hope right on the border?
New Hope's right on the border.
Because
And when we stayed...
I've driven through New Hope.
Yeah.
It's with New York. It's up near the state line, isn't it?
No, it's just north of Trenton.
Oh, okay.
So it's closer to Philadelphia.
Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to walk over the bridge.
I conked at a place. Where, you know about Urchin? What's that? What are they called?
The Sound of Urchin.
Sound of Urchin.
Bill Fowler played in my first band.
Where's their pad? Because I conked at their...
Lambertville.
They are Lambertville. I conked at their pad and woke up. And there was wild turkeys running around. I mean, these guys... you know, American turkeys. Not... kind we eat the European type, but these were big guys running around. They're pretty hefty. Had some heft. That was a trip.
Yeah, I haven't seen Urchin, but yeah, Bill and I
they
played
just
my
played
first
I heard it because J.R. Trepetich was at the gig last night, and he said he jammed a song with them in Hermosa Beach maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. They're on tour. But the Ween guys, New Hope.
Mm-hmm. They did shows in their...
In the room. Bedroom. Easy to pack.
Yeah, I
didn't have to worry about caving.
I knew about Mickey. He had a radio show and a band and a fanzine. And he was a couple years younger than me.
Wow.
He was about 14.
That would have really blew Peter away.
Mickey Yuck. There is ambition and drive there from the beginning.
Do you know of a... Are they New Jersey? The Ergs? Do you know
Don't
these
know.
Guys? ERGS?
Don't know them.
Yeah, I think they are New Jersey, and they're young guys. Remember last week we played Vampire Party. They did a cover of a Criminy song.
Yeah.
They're trippers. But a lot of energy out of New Jersey.
That was a good place to grow up. I liked it.
Well, there's so much stuff close. Ahead of that, we had something live from Throbbing Gristle from December, a couple months ago, when me and Georgie played the Ultramar's Parties Festival at Camber Sands. was the last Throbbing Gristle gig. They might have broken up after that. The manager was telling me it was up in the air. They made CDs of the gig. Like 10 minutes after the gig was over, you could buy the gig.
Wow.
They had a truck out there, printed it up the covers, silkscreened the CDs, burned them.
In action.
Yeah. And so that was, what song is that? It's off 20 Jazz Funk Great Hits.
Not good with the titles on that one.
People, everyday people. No, that's Sly and the Family Stone. Everyday people. But he's saying everyday people. I can't remember the names of it. I have to maybe look that up. Or I got the record. I was way into Throbbing Gristle. And it was a good gig. And, of course, we started the whole third hour off with Jack Flanders' latest adventure, Dreams of Rio's Part 2. So Jack is getting himself deeper into the trips he always finds himself. Okay, we got some Cat Beefheart here. Bob Lee, you're big into Cat Beefheart, right?
Very much so. Which what are we about to hear?
Zigzag Wanderer.
All right.
Watt for Pedro Show.
You can't hope. You never blow.
What for Pedro show. Mr. Bob Lee, we did a reprise of Backbiter.
Had to get another one in
on the Watt from Pedro show. That was a tune called The Right Time.
It was an exclusive preview.
That's right. Upcoming stuff that'll be released soon. Backbiter band. It's Bob Lee on the drums. Before that, we had Zigzag Wanderer, Captain Beefheart. We're coming on the end of the February 26, 2005 edition of the Watt from Pedro show. Bob Lee, I want to thank you so much for being our special guest. Brother Matt, the assist.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Central Vital Assist. Yeah, thanks for collaborating with Brother Matt on the spin cycle, too, and all the choice tunage you brought, plus your thoughts, insights, and perspectives.
Much obliged. Yeah. And look forward to doing it one day again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good luck with all your musical endeavors.
Thank you much.
Righteous. And Brother Matt, we'll be back with another. You know, Flea wants to be on. So maybe he'll be our next guest. Tell me, let's come down to Pedro. Come on. Put him on the eye waves. And God, sun came out. I got some Second Men Pratt coming up, 2 gigs tonight. So everybody, thanks for letting us into your head, booted up some with some sounds and ideas. Keep your powder dry.